second half hour of The Source on KSTX. Bexar County is leading in child abuse. It's being said to be at an all-time high. What is going on? How can we change our situation? The number to call to join our conversation, if you got questions or comments, you know something you want us to know, the number is 614-8980. You could also email your questions and comments to The Source at TPR. Go to the comments section on our website at tpr.org. Our guest this half hour, we've got JoLynn Miko. She's a professor at UTSA and a College of Public Policy, has written extensively on this issue. Kim Abernathy is CEO of Child Safe, and Texas Senator Carlos Yoreste. And he, of course, has been a great advocate in Austin trying to bring reform to the CPS and Adult Protection Services as well. And he is also on the Committee for Health and Human Services. Welcome, everybody, to The Source.
Thanks.
Hi.
So, Senator Yoreste, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so tell me what's happening right now in Austin. What kind of legislation are we looking at to try and help our caseworkers and first responders dealing with child abuse?
Well, there's a couple of developments that I'm excited about, and I think the first one has to be the fact that our own former district court judge, John Specia, was appointed as the commissioner for the Department of Family Protective Services a few months ago. And, you know, he was retired from the bench. He was doing other work, and I'm excited by the fact that he accepted and was confirmed by the Senate. And he's doing some great things here in Austin. He's a good friend of mine. He was on my Blue Ribbon Task Force in Bexar County. So we're working together on many things. He has prioritized certain things that he'd like to see that I'm in agreement with. And one of them is an increase, overall increase, in the budget for Child Protective Services. And we're looking, and the budget hasn't been finalized quite yet, but it's looking pretty good, and we're looking at getting about an additional 10% increase over the budget from 2 years ago.
All right. Well, that sounds like good news, but I need to know how much y'all cut two years ago to figure out if whether or not we're just getting back to where we were or if we're still have a long way to go.
Right.
So let me just ask Kim Abernathy, CEO of ChildSafe, does that sound like good news that we're getting a 10%, possible 10% increase?
Well, I'm like you, David, I'm not sure where we're at. I think anything increase is good for us because we've seen over the last 2 years a real cut because we work very closely with Child Protective Services, and it affects us just like it affects them. So Senator Yoreste can probably answer your question on that one.
So let me just tap into the expertise of Professor Miko. So it seems to me that child abuse is one of these things that is when we cut social services up and down the board, that we are going to see the increase in child abuse. That's where it pops up because that's where we've got our radar looking. And so it's pretty much the symptom of an overall system that is under great stress.
Anytime you cut the social safety net, anytime you cut services to needy segments of the population, you're going to see a rise in all kinds of victimization, whether it's domestic violence or substance abuse, crime or child abuse, because you're dealing many times with populations that are very, very sensitive to the shrinking of the safety net and services and goods that they rely on that are no longer there. It causes stress, and all other kinds of factors go on.
Now, Senator Yoreste, in Austin, one of the bills that's being considered is taking away, welfare, whatever they call it, in Texas for families that have some sort of drug abuse going on. How is that going to impact child abuse in Texas?
Yeah, and what they're contemplating is to take away the cash benefits for TANF, which is temporary assistance for needy families. They get in addition to food stamps and other Medicaid benefits, et cetera, they get a cash stipend of approximately $180 a month. For those that fail on repeated occasions urinalysis tests for drugs, then a system would be put into place to, one, get them the help that they need, of course, because if they have a substance abuse problem, we can't just cut them off, because if you do that, then you cut off the kids. And so we've put in some measures that would give them an opportunity to get the help that they need, one. And then, two, to allow for a grandparent, if you will, or another relative, to step in their shoes to take the cash in order to be sure that the kids are not going without. That was the number one priority we wanted to make sure didn't happen. And back to your point, you make a great point about, well, if even though we're restoring 10%, what did we cut in the past? And I'm the first one to say, and I've said this every legislative session on the Senate floor, and this is my fourth one as a senator, that we have not put enough money into prevention programs. Last session, we cut our prevention programs by almost 50%. Of the total CPS budget, we were spending about 3% on prevention. And last session, we cut that in half. So this time around, we're back up to about 3%. And absolutely, it's not enough, but you know we're getting there. And you know there are a lot of good folks that are trying to get there. I have to convince a majority of my colleagues, though, that we need to go even further.
So what kind of prevention are we talking about? Is this like parenting classes, or what works?
Well, there's a lot of prevention and early intervention programs that we know work. And there's one program, for example, called the Nurse Family Partnership Program. And it allows for a mother, usually it's a young mom, to partner up with a nurse, where the nurse actually comes and teaches the mom about you know prenatal care, and of course once the baby is delivered, she's there with the mom on not 24/7 of course because we can't afford that, but she's there to tell the mom and teach the mom why is this baby crying. The baby's not crying to make you angry. The baby's crying because she's hungry, or the baby's crying because she has an earache or a tummy ache, and we know that that program works. It costs money, of course, but there's no question that it's one of the most successful programs in Texas. So we're trying to get additional funds. I'm trying to get additional funds for prevention services. I spoke personally with our speaker, who's from San Antonio, of course, Joe Strauss, last week, told him that you know this was one of my top priorities, and hopefully as we go forward with finishing up the budget, they'll allocate a little more money or a lot more money into these prevention programs.
So, and Kim Abernathy of ChildSafe, what do you know about prevention? How do we get prevention to the people who need it?
Well, that's what we find. You know, that's a big piece of what we do besides prevention and intervention through services. And what we know is, and there's some statistics from the National Institute of Justice, for every 10 adults you can train about how to protect children, I mean, every one adult you can protect 10 children.
How does that work?
Well, I mean, it's awareness and how do you recognize abuse? How do you report it? How do you know if your child's been abused, especially sexual abuse? Most parents don't know that that's happening. So it's all about awareness and educating teachers, educating professionals. You know, most people don't even know, as we see from some of the cases that have come up, that it's you're reported. I mean, you have to report it. It's a law. So it's just what we find is if we can get the word out and people understand what kind of problem we have in San Antonio, how we can help parents with that, and how we can help teachers to recognize that and report that.
All right. Well, we got to take a break right now. I have to let Senator Yodesti go. Thank you so much for giving some of your time. I know you have a lot of committees and votes and things you got to deal with in Austin. But
thanks for having me.
Yeah, and also, we're going to come back from the break, and we will have your questions and comments. We do have a phone calls we got to get to, and we're going to talk more about the problem of child abuse in Bexar County when we come back from this break. And welcome back to The Source on KSTX. We're talking about the problem, the mega problem of child abuse in Bexar County. Here are some statistics for you. Bexar County ranks number one in confirmed cases of abuse in 2012. Bexar County had 6,205 confirmed cases of abuse and neglect. And that year, more than 300 more than Tarrant County, which is the next highest. And we had 20,000 initial intakes with alleged abuse in Bexar County. So those are some startling numbers. With me now to talk about that, we have University of Texas at San Antonio professor from the College of Public Policy, Jolynn Miko. And we also have Kim Abernathy. She's the CEO of ChildSafe. So, Jolynn, let me tell you, what I want to do right now is actually get to a call, because Gilbert's been so patient. Gilbert, thank you for calling The Source, and tell us what do you want to share with us about child abuse in Bexar County?
Well, as a former officer here in the city of San Antonio, 32 years, and also I worked with Child Protective Services as a special investigator, knowing that the problems that CPS has. But basically, it's the lack of communication between CPS and our law enforcement community. Basically, what I think we should do as a unit together is educate each other, have CPS come and teach our officers at our training classes that we have available every year, and explain to them what needs to be done, how the laws have changed, what they can do and what they can't do. And also within CPS, I know as working there, that one of the main issues that I had was when I made some recommendations, they had advised me, quit acting or quit responding as a police officer. You're no longer a police officer. I felt that one of the things that the investigators had the advantage of, they had radios available, but they had no communication within the law enforcement community via radio. And that would help if they do run into situations out in the field, which they do, and I've seen it already. But the fact is, it's just educating the officers and having a closer communication gap with CPS itself.
All right, Gilbert, thank you so much for that phone call. Thank you for your insight. So Kim Abernathy of ChildSafe, I know that y'all do training with law enforcement.
We do. And the whole idea of the children's advocacy model is, because of that fragmentation, it was to bring law enforcement, prosecution, and child protective services. We serve as a neutral party to bring those together so they are communicating. We also train all new SAPD officers and Bexar County detectives as well, Bexar County staff, Sheriff's Department staff, so, and how to recognize abuse. So at our center, we actually have law enforcement officers that house there from both Bexar County and SAPD, and we work with them very closely.
Okay, back to your calls. Carrie is on the line. Welcome to The Source, Carrie.
Hello, thank you.
You're on the air.
Couple of things that have been mentioned is the budget increase. I'm sure that can help in some ways, but how it's going to help, where it's going to go, where the money's going to go, and how it's going to be used, I guess we'll see. I'm a former CPS investigator. I spent a lot of time in the night unit, a specialized unit that handles only priority one calls up to child death cases. I recently just gave a presentation to the AACPA here in San Antonio, which is comprised mostly of law enforcement. And during that presentation, I was receiving some feedback from officers from Bexar County, San Antonio, rather, and other surrounding counties that they don't have this type of information. So I'm not too sure where that breakdown is. The manpower, CPS's manpower, there's a lot of things that occur within CPS that the public is not aware of. I'm sure that even some of the politicians are not even aware of. The way in which cases are assigned, there's no oversight on case assignment once it hits a supervisor's desk. And why is that important? That's important because we keep hearing that an average caseload is 22 to 23. They're doing some creative math when they're using and giving that number out.
Okay, Carrie, thank you so much. You brought up a couple of great points, so we're going to try and talk to those. So Jolynn, tell me, I mean, she brought up the fact that there's not a lot of supervision and they don't have enough people, enough boots on the ground.
All those are true. It's an underfunded system. We have a higher caseload in the state of Texas for your CPS workers than in many other states, and many other states that are very successful with the child and family review on the federal level. So it is a matter of money, and it is a matter of employees and workers. And as with lots of other things, anything will help, but there is a need to cut back on the cases so that you can have investigators actually and caseworkers actually work with families and create change. And that can't happen in a very short time frame when you're under a lot of stress and when you are in case overload. And this has been a problem in Bexar County off and on, but it's been a problem across the state of Texas in Dallas and in Houston, where you get a huge backload of cases and they have to send workers from other parts of the state to work those backlogs to get them down to some kind of acceptable level.
Is that just a paper chase, or are they actually helping people?
No, that's actual cases that either haven't been seen, haven't been closed. They're sitting on the books. The families are out there and not receiving the contact they need. And that happens consistently across the state in my experience, because I was a CPS employee for about 15 years and did investigations for a significant part of that time.
An email we got talks about the experiences of CPS workers. They say they go into homes that are seeing horrific conditions, roaches in all the food, no sheets on the bed, bully teenagers running the household, tiny children being sexually abused, mothers who are mentally ill, cannot properly care for the children, but they don't qualify for Medicaid, so they can't get treated. So just a parade of horrors happening in these homes, and these CPS workers, you know, how are they expected to fix any of that? What goes on there? So Kim, can you help me out here? I mean, what are they supposed to do?
Gee, thanks. Well, I'm like JoLynn. I haven't been a CPS worker, but I've worked as a social worker and worked with these children in my career too. And I don't know what the answer is. I've gone into homes and worked with families too. And I hate to keep saying the same thing, but it is a money issue.
Are we afraid to talk about this? Is this something that goes on day in and day out in San Antonio, but it's not getting the headlines until there's a horrific child death we've seen here?
Of course.
Of course, yeah.
I don't know how many times you discuss in circles that deal with child welfare is, well, there haven't been enough children that have died yet to get the attention. And that is true. There has to be something cataclysmic that galvanizes that attention. This work isn't for the faint of heart. It really is for the social worker that's committed to helping people make change.
And we find that all the time because primarily the victims we work with are sexually abused children. You know, 1 in 4 girls, 1 in 6 boys will be sexually abused before the age of 18. That's 25% of the girls. Go to a classroom, look around. People, it's a difficult subject. People don't want to talk about it, and they don't want to hear about it.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. Rick, you're on The Source. Thank you so much for calling. Rick?
Hey, thank you. Something I just want to bring attention is right now, the Office of Management and Budget, the OBM, did a study where they looked at non-security discretionary spending, and that's all the money that the government puts into everything other than defense, and it's on pace to be less than 3% of GDP. And that's for everything, Department of Education, Labor, Energy, National Institute of Health, NASA. And right now, Department of Education is overseeing a program called Eastside Promise Neighborhood, and it's a multi-million dollar social intervention, and they're trying to... There are some places in San Antonio that are in crisis. The section that they're, the neighborhood that they take care of is less than 3 square miles. It's where Wheatley Middle School is. And at one point, less than 18,000 people live there. Almost 10% of all crime in San Antonio is committed there. Now, this might be one of the last opportunities a federal program is going into some of these areas. And a lot of the places where CPS is active is in places that are poor, where there's not a lot of economic opportunity. The cycle of poverty is really taking hold. And everybody out there is listening. Eastside Promise Neighborhood is a program that tries to fix these things. And if you want to help out, connect with Tony Leverett of the United Way. He could really do a good thing. I'm a teacher in the area, so that's why I felt the call. Hey, great, great topic. And that's what we should be talking about, the poor, because in 2008, President Obama and McCain never mentioned the word poor or the poverty once in their debate.
Okay, Rick.
That's intense. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Rick. I appreciate your call. He brings up some great points. Obviously, if we don't make some noise about these issues, they're not going to get the funding that they deserve. So, and I know that, JoLynn, you've written about privatization of these agencies.
Well, and that's one thing the state of Texas and the federal government has really looked at, is to privatize services that were formerly done and there were government operations.
When you say privatize, we're also saying profitize.
We're saying privatize. What happens after that, who knows? And I will tell you, with privatization of foster care or privatization of certain functions of child protective services in the state of Texas, the state of Florida, the state of Kansas, those are the three states that have really done more with this. It doesn't always turn out to be profit. Sometimes those contract holders that said, yes, you give me this chunk of money, we'll take care of all your kids and we'll do everything for them, in the middle of that contract will call CPS and say, we're out of money, we're backing off, come get your kids. So it doesn't always work out well. And the services don't always improve. And the studies that have been done, it's really up in the air whether it's even cost efficient. They're spending more money in Florida on privatization of child protective service workers now than they did when it was a state function. So when we hear the word privatization, we should be very careful to jump on board, particularly when with child welfare issues and child protection issues, you're doing a job that there is no company or corporation out there that does it now, and they're going to have to invent it from the ground up.
So, Kim Abernathy, as CEO of ChildSafe, what do you want people to take away from your appearance here? What do people need to know that they don't know right now about what's happening in child abuse in San Antonio, Bexar County?
Well, I think one of the key things I want them to know is there's a place where they can get services and help. I don't think a lot of people are aware of what a children's advocacy center is and that ChildSafe is that place. If your family needs help, we can help you with children that have been abused and neglected or sexually abused. And it's
coming up Monday on The Source. Oops, sorry about that.
It is not just a local state funding issue.
All right, but that's my cue to get out of here. I'm out of time. So I really thank you for both of you guys being here. We got Kim Abernathy of ChildSafe. We got JoLynn Miko of UTSA, the College of Public Policy. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies, and we've got the news coming up here in just a couple of seconds. Stand by.